strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking, it was done.
You're listening to the Green Pastures with Jesus podcast, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church, located in lovely Fairmont, Minnesota. You found your daily home for a few minutes with Jesus, including a Monday and Thursday in-depth study podcast and the occasional Saturday bonus episode. I'm your host, Pastor Peter Hagen. Today we've got our daily Bible reading, so take a deep breath and let's hear what God has to say. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. Keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. Into your hands I commend my body and soul and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me. Amen. Today's Bible reading comes from Hebrews chapter 1. First, a little bit of background on the book of Hebrews. It was a letter. We don't know exactly who it was written by. Some people think Paul. Other, perhaps more preferred candidates include Apollos or Silas or Barnabas. Barnabas had been a Levite. Or he was a Levite, so he was well acquainted with Old Testament worship, which is really what this book tackles. And Apollos had been that Jewish man from Alexandria who then was at Corinth and reasoning from the Old Testament scriptures that Jesus was the promised Messiah. But, I don't personally think it was Paul, just because it doesn't quite sound like his other letters, at least the way that his other letters read, but it's possible. The letter was written in order to encourage Jewish Christians in their Christianity. They had grown up in Judaism, they had known Judaism, and then when Christianity came, these Hebrews had converted to Christianity. And now they've begun to experience some suffering for the sake of Christ. They've begun to experience some persecution because of being Christians. And so the temptation that they're facing is to potentially turn back to their Judaism, because Judaism was still an accepted religion in the Roman Empire. And the Jewish people following Judaism didn't have to undergo the same sort of persecution that the Christians did. And so in a time of persecution, they might say to themselves, well, you know, what's the big deal? We just worship the same God. We just follow there's a couple of different rules or regulations, and we have a different type of worship, but it's all the same God, right? And the writer to the Hebrews says, well, if you desert Christ, then you miss the whole point. He goes through the entire book, really demonstrating from Old Testament history, from the Old Testament itself, from Old Testament worship, that Jesus is superior in every way to the Judaism that they left behind. And so Hebrews chapter 1 really begins with Jesus as being superior to the angels. Whereas, you know, perhaps by that time the Judaism had become somewhat mystical, and had really been waiting for or looking for angels or obsessed about angels. And the writer here says, well, Jesus is superior to them. And then the rest of the book is going to tackle the other elements of Jewish life, Jewish worship life, Jewish history, to show that Jesus is worth holding on to. Hebrews chapter 1. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. But in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, You are my son. Today I have become your father. Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. And speaking of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. But about the Son, he says, your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. He also says, in the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end. To which of the angels did God ever say, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are not all angels, ministering spirits, sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? So here in Hebrews chapter 1, we really have a listing of quotations from the Psalms, proving that the Son is superior in every way to the angels. First of all, he is the Son of God. And in a very real way, he also, in a sense, became the Son of God by being born as human, by sharing in our humanity. The eternal Son of God was brought into the world as a baby. 100% God. He never gave up his divinity. At the same time, 100% human. You are my son. Today I have become your father. That passage is used elsewhere. I forget exactly where offhand. Sorry about that. But that passage is used elsewhere to talk about the incarnation of Jesus and the birth of Jesus. That God took joy in bringing his son into the world through that mysterious miracle of the incarnation. And then later on, you know, here in verse 6, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. So verses 5 and 6 are kind of a unit talking about one aspect, that the angels worship the Son, that the Son is called the Son of God. Even though Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all equally eternal, at the same time, there's this relationship of Father and Son that that the angels are never privileged to have that sort of a term applied to them as a son or daughter. Then verses 7, 8, and 9 kind of have the next unit. In speaking of the angels, he says he makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. The contrast now isn't in the terms applied to each, but the position. The angels are servants. But about the Son, your throne will last forever and ever. He is king. And then the next section, verses 10 and 11 and 12, that the Son of God is eternal. That he was there involved in laying the foundations of the world and the creation of the world and even the creation of angels. So it would be absolutely preposterous for somebody who worships the Son of God to turn their backs on him in favor of the interest in angels or in favor of any sort of worship of angels. Heavens, no. They are not given the same authority as God. They don't have the same position as God. They are creatures, creations of God. And they have a definite beginning in the days of creation. But about Jesus, you remain the same. Your years will never end. And finally, verses 13 and 14 are kind of the final unit, that God promises that his Son will have all his enemies subdued to him. Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. In the contrast, the angels are not worthy of our worship. because God, who is God over all, has sent them to serve you. To think of that. That together with the angels right now, the saints in heaven are worshiping our eternal God, who is God over all, who is eternal and timeless. And even here on earth, as we work and worship and live among the church militant in a life of, in a world of sin and death and pain, God promises that he sends his angels to serve you and me. So of course, even you and I, in a way, are superior to them, because God, in his grace, has sent those creatures to serve us, all for the purpose of keeping us close to him and carrying out the hidden details of God's eternal election. That is to say, that God, in his providence, as he provides for you and me, reserves to himself the right to send angels to serve you and me for the purpose of eventually bringing you or me to heaven at the proper time. Whether that is escorting the soul from this life to the next, angels are talked about as doing that, or collecting the people at the end of time, angels are talked about as doing that. But the point that God is driving at here is that you have the Son, you have complete access to the Son, who reigns over all things, who is superior to the angels in every way. And this Jesus is worth following and worshiping and holding on to, despite any temptation to follow anyone else, and despite any persecution we might face in this world. Because our God has given his Son for you. God bless your day.
Jerusalem, the golden.
Thanks for listening to Green Pastures with Jesus, the audio home of Shepherd of the Lakes Lutheran Church of Fairmont, Minnesota. If you like what you just heard, we hope you'll pass along our website, www.shepherdofthelakes.net. Pass that along to your friends and colleagues. Be sure to check out our archives section at our website for previous podcasts. You can find us 9:30 a.m. Sunday mornings at 323 East 1st Street in Fairmont, just up the hill from Richard's Towing. Any questions, contact me, Pastor Hagen, 507-236-9572. God bless your day.
What bliss beyond compare.